That's the power of shared inquiry, of learning alongside of each other and from each other. And it's about being humble and realizing that we don't have all the answers, but together we can uncover this collective wisdom through conversation, researching, and exploration.
Learning and evaluation is something we have talked about before. Here is a listen.
Are your programs having the impact on the communities that you're trying to fund, that you hope they will have? And I think that's very important. Are your programs working? But I think there's a lot of learning, and that kind of goes into the forward part, is if they're not, how can you do a course correction? What can you learn from that? So I think the learning, the strategic learning part, has really emerged as very important in recent years in philanthropy.
That was Dr. Michelle Guzman, at that time, the Hawk Foundation's Assistant Director for Research and Evaluation, from one of our first episodes, episode 8, in 2015. What she said was certainly correct then, and is even more true now that we've gone through our new strategic plan. You'll find out why in just a minute. Hi, this is Ike Evans of the Hawk Foundation for Mental Health, and you're listening to Into the Fold, Issues in Mental Health. The Hawk Foundation is a strategic grant maker based at the University of Texas at Austin. To learn more, visit us at hogg.utexas.edu. Learning is an idea that's both powerful and easy to take for granted. You might think it'd go without saying that a foundation like ours is a learning organization. But actually, there's value in saying it out loud and exploring what that means often. For anyone trying to impact complex problems with finite resources, learning is too important to be left to chance or beholden to the crisis of the moment. It's its own area of opportunity and must be approached as strategically as any other. In other words, we think learning happens on purpose. Our keenness for learning is now tied to a related concept we call shared inquiry. Thanks to our strategic plan, shared inquiry is now so important to the Hawk Foundation that we have made it one of our three strategic pillars, along with community implementation and policy engagement. So what exactly is it, and why are we excited about it? Here to help us answer this question are our guests. Emily Bendari is Strategic Learning and Evaluation Program Officer for the Hawk Foundation, having just started in that role this year. Prior to that, she worked at the Annette Strauss Institute for Civic Life, an organized research unit in the Moody College of Communication at the University of Texas at Austin. She is joined by Marisa Zappone, Senior Manager for Aligned Impact at Mission Capital in Austin, Texas. Emily and Marisa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
And before I get to my first question, Marisa, maybe you could tell us a little bit more about what Mission Capital does.
Sure. So Mission Capital is a nonprofit organization, and we are all about equipping and connecting mission-driven leaders, organizations, and networks here in Central Texas in order to help those groups really create a bigger difference in the community and be more effective in their work.
Let's talk about shared inquiry. How should we define it, and how do we know when we're doing it?
Sure. Well, shared inquiry is actually a trademarked process developed by educators Robert Hutchins and Mortimer Adler of the Great Books Foundation. Their purpose was to expand opportunities for people to read and talk about significant works of the Western intellectual tradition. And the idea is to promote stimulating interpretive discussion of a work. And it is based on the idea that participants can gain deeper understanding of a text when they work together and are prompted by a leader's skilled questioning. So I think that people now in this day and age, I know especially at the foundation, are pretty liberal with this process now and will use any sort of prompt to spark discussion and collective learning. Because I think that you could call it shared inquiry, you could call it collaborative inquiry, you could call it participatory learning, and we're all pointing to the same direction. We're all engaging in the same process. So at the foundation, we use things like lunch and learns, for example, to engage in this process of shared inquiry. We engage in research and collaboration with other units, other researchers and scholars to engage in these conversations. Oftentimes, folks will at our Lunch and Learn show a video clip or use a musical piece or do a quick presentation of key information relevant to a topic that we're discussing. And the essential parts are that there's some sort of level setting, that everyone needs access to some level of information that we will be discussing, and so that everybody can engage with that information through the guiding questions and the facilitated discussion. And so to answer the second part of your question, how do we know we're doing it? I think we know when someone learns something from someone else. That's when we know we're doing it. Or together, they each learn something that they wouldn't have been able to learn or get to on their own. That's the power of shared inquiry, of learning alongside of each other and from each other. And it's about being humble and realizing that we don't have all the answers. But together, we can uncover this collective wisdom through conversation, researching, and exploration.
Okay, so at Mission Capital, we haven't tended to actually use the term shared inquiry, but I think it maps really closely to the conversations that we've had as a nonprofit and with our partners around iteration, reflection, shared learning. All of those concepts are really similar. And we often talk about this actually in the context of internal evaluation work that we are doing with our grant partners. That we often talk about this in connection with the work that we are doing with service providers in the community. So many times service providers, when they start thinking about evaluation, they really see it as this kind of third-party evaluation. Somebody's going to come in, do a big impact evaluation study, and certainly that's one type of evaluation. But what we want to get service providers to think more about is how can they do their own internal evaluation and really use that data as that kind of level setting, and then use that to have conversations about what's working and what's not working for program improvement. And I think what's critical is ensuring that everyone across the organization is involved in this process. So not just the board or not just those in leadership, but making sure that frontline staff, that managers have the opportunity to take a look at something, for example, a piece of data and talk about it, look at what's working and what's not working, and also make sure that they are collecting input and feedback from their clients, from their constituents in the community, so that everybody is working together to have conversations about the programming, so that ultimately they can get better at what it is that they're doing.
So shared inquiry type situations, they'll often or typically involve someone who's kind of in the position of senior learner, someone who's kind of guiding the discussion, right?
Sure. I would say there's facilitated discussion rather than senior learner.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about it like more in a classroom kind of context where at some point it may be tempting to kind of fall back on the teacher's seniorness. And so I'm thinking that, you know, to really be true to shared inquiry, you kind of have to keep priming that pump again and again of getting the more junior learners to kind of keep giving themselves over to the process, I would think.
It's about that level setting of making sure that it's about collectively learning together, that the senior learner in your model that you're describing as a facilitator doesn't have the answers.
Right, right.
That the answers actually come from the collective wisdom of the participants who are engaging in the conversation.
Right. So how do the principles of shared inquiry map onto the work that each of you is doing for and with communities? I mean, do you have any like concrete examples?
Yeah, so I can talk a little bit about the work that Mission Capital is doing right now with a funder collaborative called Good Measure. And Mission Capital essentially serves as kind of the backbone support organization for this collaborative. And the collaborative is an association of philanthropic organizations here in Central Texas, including the Michael and Susan Dell Foundation, the St. David's Foundation, United Way, Andy Roddick Foundation, and Applied Materials. And they came together because they wanted to see how they could work together with service providers to help those providers use data to make a bigger difference in the lives of more people. And I think Good Measure was really founded from this place of shared learning. Funders wanted to know, can we come together and support the community in this way? What would it look like? And it's been a process that's evolved over time. It's evolved as they've continued to talk together, to learn together, and to talk with service providers in the community. So I think it's a great example of how a group of funders has come together and through, again, that kind of spirit of reflection and shared learning has been able to do some really great things in the community.
And as part of our new strategic plan at the foundation, mm-hmm. we're focusing on systems change through community engagement and empowerment. But for many years, our organization has been about supporting services for individuals in recovery. And so we're entering into a new world, and learning plays a large part in helping us navigate our actions and our choices. But on top of that, what we've found, which is quite beautiful in my opinion, is that many of our grantees are learning about systems change and community empowerment as well. What we're learning together, and we're actually learning alongside of each other, both the grantee communities and us as a foundation are sharing in the process of inquiry and exploration about what it actually means to create healthy communities and mental well-being.
Awesome. Okay. Do you know of any like real life examples of shared inquiry that can help to make the concept a little more concrete to people?
Well, the process of shared inquiry is not really something new. I mean, when you engage in Bible study, or when my father, for example, does Torah study on Saturday mornings with a rabbi, he is engaging in the process of shared inquiry. This has been a process that's been around for a very long time. That is what shared inquiry is in action. How can we learn together and support each other's learning? That's the power of shared inquiry, and it's about supportive learning, collaborative learning. And you're able to draw on the wisdom of other people that you're sharing this experience with. And oftentimes that means that you get to learn more.
I would say an example of that in our work with Good Measure. So one of the program offerings is a series called Measuring What Matters. And it's a 6-month program where nonprofit teams come together to work on a specific kind of data or evaluation learning goal, something that they want to develop or learn more about in their organizations. And what's great about that process is they are able to connect with other nonprofits, essentially communities of practice, where they come together and each group gets the opportunity to share what they're doing and then really learn from each other. And I think it's really been neat to see that these organizations, they're able to be really vulnerable with each other about the struggles and bring those to the table and then get input and ideas from their peers. And through that work, we've really seen just a lot of sort of growth in the data and evaluation work within nonprofits. And certainly they're getting support from kind of evaluation experts and coaches in the community. But I think the sort of deepest level of support they're getting is from their peers.
Emily, let's break off a piece of your job title. What is strategic learning, and why is it so important for organizations trying to make change?
Well, as opposed to haphazard learning that allows learning to happen by chance, being strategic is the dedication to being efficient so as to honor people's time and to being thoughtful about what we need to learn and how we need to learn it. As you mentioned, we're an organization making a huge shift from what we know, recovery from illness, to focusing on well-being and communities. And our staff's expertise might not align with the new knowledge needed for our new strategic direction. So we as an organization have to do the work of becoming the experts again. And the good thing is that everyone here has proven to be lifelong learners. So we can be strategic about our learning in that way.
Marisa, so you mentioned data, and that's kind of central to what Good Measure does. And I've noticed that a lot of people pay lip service to data, almost like it's a necessary evil. In your experience, what helps in getting organizations to approach the need for good metrics with a positive and curious mindset?
Yeah, it's a great question, kind of a complicated question.
Right.
I do think at the end of the day, it is all about connecting it back to what's truly important to to all of us kind of in the nonprofit space, we care about making a difference in the lives of our clients and the community. And so I think if we can connect that back to kind of the central mission and the work that we're doing, and I know I found that that certainly has been true for me. My background is not in research, it's not in data or evaluation, but it's as a service provider. First as an AmeriCorps Vista volunteer many years ago, and then spending over a decade working as a social worker here in the Austin area for the Austin School District, as well as for various nonprofits. I wrestled with questions like, is what I'm doing really making a difference? How can I make more of a difference? How do we know that what we're doing is working, right? And those are critical questions because I want to make a difference. I want to be able to help those families. And so I think what I found through that kind of process of wrestling with those questions and through connecting with others in the field is that data and the use of sort of evidence and research is an important piece of that to be able to answer that question so that we can really feel good about the work that we're doing. I think also evaluators have an important role that they can play in helping to kind of shift some of those perceptions. I think at times evaluation has been used strictly as a tool for accountability and kind of used as a hammer. It's something that's sort of done to us rather than with us. And so it's important for evaluators and those of us that are kind of working in this space now to think about, again, how do we bring folks in, how do we bring in frontline staff and those on the ground and connect with them? And I had the opportunity actually to learn more about this by working closely with an evaluator when I was a social worker. And she really embedded herself kind of in our programming, in our work, and helped us think through our program model and really helped ensure that each of us as direct practitioners had a role in kind of shaping design and implementation. And then finally, I think funders have a responsibility to ensure that their grant dollars are being spent effectively and efficiently. But I think it's also important, right, that we recognize that community service providers are operating their programs in complex social environments, that it's challenging to achieve outcomes. And so there's that important role to play in fostering that open dialogue and to recognize that kind of inherent power differential between funders and community partners so that we can, again, at the end of the day, it's about learning together and being able to make a difference together.
Yeah. I mean, people think that they hate data, but they tend to like conversation.
Yes.
And one of the ways that I have learned to appreciate data by letting myself be instructed in all the ways that data can provoke conversation.
Yep. Yeah.
And I bet you that's kind of the way in for a lot of people.
Absolutely. I think a lot of what we talk about in our Good Measure programming is about rather than kind of one person in the organization, being that authority and kind of presenting the data and saying, here's what it means. It's let's share the data. And then, as you say, let's have a conversation about it. What does it mean to you? Why do we think the data is telling us this? Because we have to dig into those why questions, right? And sort of quantitative data is only going to get us so far in that process, but we have to have those conversations and again, have ensure that we're connecting back with our clients, with our constituents in order to really kind of understand the full meaning behind the data.
And as the field gets more, the field of evaluation gets more and more comfortable with qualitative data, I think that that data is going to be helpful to us as in nonprofits and organizations with storytelling. And storytelling is increasingly more important for folks as they're applying for money and as for funds, but also telling what's happening in the communities that we're serving. So evaluation can play a very key role in helping unearth those stories and what's happening.
Yeah, and I think that's near and dear to my heart as a communications professional, that storytelling itself can kind of benefit from the whole shared inquiry approach. Because, I mean, as much as anything else, storytelling is an iterative process. You take a stab at telling a story about a community or about a program, and you tell yourself later that maybe it got certain things across about what it is that we're doing, but not quite as precisely as what I envisioned. And so let's revisit the story, and let's see how in the next go-round there can be a little bit more precise of a fit between the story that we're telling and what it is that we want our audiences to know So, Emily, one thing that I've noticed about your approach is that you're not afraid to walk us through some challenging thought exercises to get at certain problems, which shared inquiry is all about. Perhaps you can share an example with our listeners.
Well, sure. So what I do know is you have to be open to talking and taking some risks when engaging in the process of learning collectively. The work we're trying to accomplish in the field of mental health and well-being, or just the work of social justice in general, can be uncomfortable at times. So the more that we get comfortable with being uncomfortable, the more resilient we will be. We as a foundation are working to start and launch the next year in our strategic plan. And so we spent some time as a foundation requesting from each other, each other's units, what I need from you. And sometimes asking what I need from you in a direct way can make us feel uncomfortable, or to hear directly what I need from you from another unit can make us feel uncomfortable. So that was one exercise that we as a foundation did. I feel like it really helped us gain clarity from each of the other units of how to be successful in the year ahead about what we needed from each other.
Related to our topic, learning, evaluation, and shared inquiry, we have a recent blog post called Learning from the Collective Wisdom of Our Grantees, a conversation between HOG program officers, Emily, Tammy Hines, and Rick Ibarra, and Susan Wolf, who's head of the learning team for our Collaborative Approaches to Well-being in Rural Communities initiative. So there, they discuss the approach that they're using to learn from, with, and alongside our rural Texas grantee communities. And as I mentioned in my intro, if this was intriguing, you can also check out episode 8 called Why Evaluation Matters to get the full interview with Dr. Michelle Guzman. You can see this episode's description for links to both of these. Emily Bondari and Marisa Zapone, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.